taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you are everyday Americans.
Hello there, everyday Americans, and welcome to the Constitution Study, where we read and study the Constitution. Most importantly, we teach the rising generation to be free. Now, for 2 years, if you go back to the writings on my website, for almost 2 years, I've been talking about how this COVID scare was effectively a Trojan horse. I didn't use that term originally, but it's a Trojan horse. It's meant to scare you into focusing on it and ignoring everything else that's going around. How do you bring tyranny, even more tyranny, into a country? Well, you scare them into letting the horse in. You scare them into accepting policies that are detrimental to rights, that are detrimental to freedom, that are even detrimental to common sense. But you scare them enough and they'll do it. Now, I've had a couple of episodes already this week, and I talked about this in certain aspects. I talked about Dr. Robert Malone's statement about a mass formation psychosis. The idea that the American people, the world, has become delusional. They've become detached from reality. I also talked about the cases that were heard before the Supreme Court last week, and how in some cases, some of the hyperbolic comments that were made, not only by the lawyers, but by the justices as well. And this is meant, it's fear porn. It's meant to scare people, because if people are scared, they will do things they wouldn't otherwise do. But it's not simply those two events. I want to talk a little bit about some of the news that's come out since then, but I want to look at why I believe they've been so effective. Why the fear campaign, the scaredemic, and so much more have been so effective. And I think I can figure that out. I think we will see clues as we go through some of today's topics. Now, let's start with, I mentioned the Supreme Court. All right, well, let's start with some of the hyperbolic statements there. During oral arguments, Justice Sotomayor claimed there were 100,000 children hospitalized or seriously ill with COVID-19. 100,000, that's a scary number. Well, now, even the CDC admitted that number's wrong. During an interview on Fox News Sunday, Dr. Rochelle Walensky, confirmed there are only about 3,500 children in the hospital who have tested positive for COVID-19. Now, keep that statement in mind. 3,500 children that have tested positive. But you see, 100,000, well, that's scary. You know, if there are 100,000 children in the hospital, then people will do a lot to protect the children. It's part of our nature. So it's even more important that we look at some of the facts. For example, from Dr. Walensky on the interview, she said there are, you know, pediatric hospitalizations are on the rise, but they're still about 15-fold less than hospitalizations of our older age demographics. Now, part of this is a pet peeve of mine. The English language, people have lost the concept of basic math in the English language. You can't have 15-fold less. If you have 100 apples, 15-fold of 100 apples is 1,500 apples. You can't have 1,500 less apples than you got now. What you really should have said is that the older demographics are 15-fold larger than the pediatrics. But that's a personal pet peeve. But she also went on to say they're not even sure how many of those children are on ventilators. She said in some hospitals that we've talked to, up to 40% of patients who are coming in with COVID are coming in not because they risk they're sick with COVID, but because they're coming in with something else and have had COVID or Omicron variants detected. So even of the 3,500, in some places as much as 40%, nearly half of them, these aren't patients with COVID. These are patients that have tested positive for COVID. So now those numbers, and again, 3,500 children means 3,500 families are having some really bad times. And I feel for them, and I think we should help them. I want to help them. I think their friends, their neighbors, their churches, their synagogues, their mosques, they should help them. But I don't think we should throw the Constitution out the window because of 3,500 hospitalized children. As many as 40% of them are not there because of COVID. And I certainly don't think we should lie about those numbers. Now, I don't know if Justice Sotomayor lied because she just exaggerated herself or she was given exaggerated information. But you would think a lawyer of her stature would have better research capabilities, that her clerks would be better at research to give her better information. And let's face it, if she's hired clerks that can't come up with these basic numbers, is she qualified to sit on that bench? And the CDC director, again, reaffirmed, children have the lowest chance among all age groups of both hospitalization and death. These are all mitigating facts. These are not hyperbolic statements. This is driven by data, most from the CDC. So when you have a justice claiming this is a grave emergency, that we must, it's a necessity, we must throw the Constitution out the window because this is such a grave and necessary situation, because she lied about the number of children in the hospital. Again, intentionally or unintentionally, she lied. Or as the current parliament say, she provided misinformation. Now, some people went and checked. They did something unique today. They actually checked the data. There are people who do this. I like to refer to it as the Berean principle. It comes from the book of Acts in the Bible. The Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica because they listened to what was said and went to the scriptures daily to see if it's so. So we listen to what people say, but we are forgetting to go back to the original documents to see if it was so. So now we see even our judicial system has been either politicized or corrupted. Because what is the reason why, whether it's Justice Sotomayor or her clerks or her staff, what is the reason why they would use such exaggerated data in arguments before the court? It's for a political purpose. But Paul, the courts are supposed to be non-political. Yeah, and if you believe that, I have a bridge in New York to sell you, along with some oceanfront property in New Mexico. Courts are made up of people, and people have agendas. And there will always be people who are willing to place their agenda above what other people's rights, above facts and data. They claim that the ends justify the means. And if the ends means we have to exaggerate and scare the pants off the people to get them to do what we know is better for them, they'll do it. Now, one of the things I like to do is I like to read multiple articles on the same subject from different sources, because everyone has their own little play on this. Well, for example, what I was reading from the Epic Times, talking about the interview on Fox, another outlet, the Daily Caller, had a slightly different take on it, a spin, you might say. They noted that Director Walensky corrected, but pointed out that she refrained from criticizing Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor, after she misrepresented pediatric hospitalizations. So through one outlet, we get the facts of the scenario. We get one point of view. Yes, Justice Sotomayor's numbers were horribly exaggerated. Ridiculously. We're not talking. I mean, there were some of the numbers in that argument that I looked and I said, well, yeah, they're off, but you know, we're talking more than rounding errors, but not blatant exaggeration. However, the 100,000 children, you know, pediatric hospitalizations, that's beyond a rounding error. That's beyond a little bit of exaggeration. That is a flat out falsehood. And again, I don't know if it was Justice Sotomayor that came up with that or her staff. In either case, she did that. But I find it interesting. Again, one outlet looks and says, yes, she got the numbers wrong. One outlet looked at it and said, you know, she never did actually criticize Justice Sotomayor for her inaccuracies. Because again, we're talking oral arguments on the record. We're talking about a justice who is claiming that it is necessary to deal with a grave situation because of these falsified numbers, that we should throw out the law and the Constitution because of them. It's one of the reasons why I like to get information from multiple sources, because no one ever seems to have the whole truth. So I find that a good technique. People wonder, you know, well, how do we know? We listen to the experts, but how do we know that the experts have it right? Well, one of the things I do is I get news from different sources, including, by the way, sources I rarely agree with, because I want to see the other point of view. And I can synthesize that information. I can go back to original data sets, original documents, and weed and fiddle out. But it's a great way to understand what's going on by hearing multiple sides, knowing none of them are truly right. But it wasn't simply the Sotomayor's claim of 100,000 pediatric hospitalizations that were wrong. And I did point this out in when I covered it, when I covered the oral arguments. I believe it was Justice Breyer that said there have been we're approaching a million deaths. Not sure about who said it. I'd have to go back and double check. But one of the just said, you know, we're approaching a million deaths. And that's one of those, it's a bit more than a rounding error. I think it was 836,000. So it's a bit of an exaggeration, but it's not, you know, completely outside of the scope. And I pointed out that, you know, the CDC did note back in 2021 that 94% of their COVID deaths are people who died with COVID, not from COVID. Now, I don't know what that number is now, but if it was 94% early in 2021, do you think it's gotten that much better? And then again, we have Dr. Walensky, again, still in that interview in Fox News Sunday. And host Brett Baer asked specifically, do you know how many of the 836,000 deaths in the U.S. linked to COVID are from COVID, or how many are with COVID, but they had other comorbidities? Do you have that breakdown? That was a simple, straightforward question. Dr. Walensky's response, yes, of course, with Omicron, we're following that very carefully. She goes, our death registry, of course, takes a few weeks to, and it takes a few weeks to collect. And of course, Omicron has just been with us for a few weeks, but those data will be forthcoming. Well, okay, we've had Omicron for a few weeks. We've had COVID for 2 years. 2 years. How many of those 836,000 deaths are from COVID versus how many are with COVID? If it's that 94% that we were talking about before, that died with COVID, not necessarily of COVID, that means our COVID death rate, people who died from COVID, is more like 50,000, not 800,000. Now, Director Walensky claims They have that data. Why are they not releasing it? Her response when asked if they had that data, she says, yes, of course, we're following, with Omicron, we're following that very closely. Where is it? She gave no indication those numbers were available for the totals for the last 2 years. And I mentioned it before. The governor of the state of New York finally said, you know what? Hospitals are going to have to report whether someone is hospitalized with COVID or from COVID. In other words, did they come in with COVID symptoms and were hospitalized, or did they come in for something else, were tested for COVID, and tested positive? That distinction is extremely important. If we are making decisions based on misleading numbers, then we are making bad decisions. In the IT industry, it's called GIGO, garbage in, garbage out. If you're putting garbage information into a decision tree, you're going to end up with garbage information coming out. We have spent 2 years dealing with garbage information going in and garbage decisions coming out. And everybody who seemed to have stood up and said, you know what, we think these numbers are wrong, we think these policies are wrong, have been called anti-vaxxers, deniers, we want to go kill grandma. And now we're finding out more and more. No, the data wasn't there. And we never bothered to check before we made changes that will have a change on society that cannot be undone. Even a week ago, just over a week ago, Dr. Fauci considered that they are probably overcounting the number of COVID cases, particularly in regards to pediatric hospitalizations. Because every child who's taken to the hospital receives a COVID-19 test, whether they were asymptomatic or not. So your child goes into the hospital for a broken leg or appendicitis. They get a COVID test and suddenly they're a pediatric COVID hospitalization. That's not simply bad data collection. That is false data. That is the true misinformation. Not people like me who are saying, go back and check the numbers. If people are dying, if this is such a deadly disease, why is the overall death rate 1.6%? If children are at such risk of COVID-19, why does their hospitalization rate so low, and why is the death rate round to zero? Jesus said that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Actually, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You want to know how to be free in a world gone crazy with COVID mania? Find the truth. Find the truth, then live by the truth. I've issued a new T-shirt. It's declare your independence. And it says that we pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Pledging your life to freedom and independence doesn't mean necessarily dying for it. It means living as a free citizen. And that takes knowledge, and it takes some backbone. Let's learn to live as free citizens. Now, we've been talking about pediatrics, but a new report out of New Jersey, the state officials admit that most COVID-19 hospitalized patients are admitted for non-COVID reasons. See, on January 10th, New Jersey officials stated that of the 6,075 people with COVID and hospitalized within the state, just 2,963 were admitted for COVID-19. That's according to the New Jersey Health Commissioner, Judith Preschelli. That means just under half of the COVID hospitalizations are not actually people hospitalized for COVID. These are people who are hospitalized and then tested positive for COVID. Governor Murphy said, "We have a fair number of what I've started to call COVID incidental or incidental COVID, meaning you went in because you broke your leg, but everyone's getting tested and it turns out you've got COVID. You didn't even know it." In neighboring New York State, which I mentioned, the governor finally said, "You know what? We're going to differentiate between people who are hospitalized for COVID and with COVID." Well, guess what? They found almost half of the hospitalized listed as COVID were incidental, meaning they were people who were hospitalized for something else and then tested positive for COVID. States are starting to promote to provide this data. This is 2 years into this scamdemic. 2 years into the scaredemic. We are finally getting states to say, you know what, maybe we ought to provide real data, not this fear-mongering scare porn. After we've had 2 years of masks and mandates and lockdowns and destruction of our economy, destruction of people's lives, increases in addiction and suicides, the delaying of medical treatment and diagnosis for potentially life-threatening diseases. Look at what we've done to this country because, in part because, we were given bad data. Garbage in, garbage out. And of course, there's been this whole, well, it's a pandemic of the unvaccinated. You know, the majority of people in the hospital or hospitalized COVID hospitalizations are not vaccinated. Well, how many of those those hospitalizations are actually COVID hospitalizations? How many of them are actually incidental? See, in New Jersey, nearly one in three of those hospitalized people are fully vaccinated, meaning they've received their second dose of the Moderna or Pfizer biologic, the gene therapy, or they got their Johnson & Johnson test, and those have had it at least 2 weeks prior to admission, right? Because you get the jabs, you're not considered vaccinated for 2 weeks. So if nearly a third of those in the hospital have been fully vaccinated, does that mean the vaccine doesn't actually protect you completely from SARS-CoV-2? Does it mean it prevents you from getting SARS-CoV-2? Doesn't prevent you from spreading SARS-CoV-2? Does it mean maybe that it helps you with some of the symptoms of SARS-CoV-2? And that's extremely important. Why? Because Omicron has none to mild symptoms in general. Not 100%, but for the most part, most people who get Omicron, if they get symptoms, it's mild. Now, are there people that get serious symptoms from Omicron? Apparently, yes. And for those people and their families, that's a difficult situation. But there are people that have bad reactions to the flu. They get serious cases of the flu. They get pneumonia. Does that mean the entire world must stop? We have to throw out all of our rights in our Constitution because there are some people who might get seriously ill? Does it mean that we are going to ignore all of the treatments for COVID-19 that are available, legally available, tested, histories of safe use that happen to be effective in COVID-19 treatment, mitigating the symptoms, stopping the spread? Is that what it means? COVID-19 and the scaredemic that has promoted it has been used around the world, not just in the U.S., but around the world as a Trojan horse to bring in dictatorial mandates, to bring in tyrannical orders, to subjugate the people of the world to a politically attached few, a politically available, politically engaged. And we are suffering the consequences. Because those of us who saw this coming and sounded the alarm were silenced, were shoved aside, were ignored, were vilified. And now, as the data is coming out, you know what I'm not hearing? There are two things I'm not hearing. One is, there are only a few I'm hearing saying, I told you so. I'm not saying they're not out there, but there are very few of them. At least from what I've heard. Maybe I'm wrong. But what I haven't heard is I haven't heard these tin pot dictator politicians saying, okay, we've got new data. Our decisions were wrong. Let's back up and look at this again. California, New York, Illinois, they have not said, you know what, we're going to back up. We're going to go back to the law and we're going to look at this with the new data. There are some states that are, but I'll tell you who isn't. Joe Biden and all of his cohort in the administration and a lot of the people in Congress. I've got some more to cover, but I got to take a break. Before I do, please head over to the website, constitutionstudy.com. That's where I post articles and videos. Most importantly, please ask a question. I'm still looking for questions to answer on the radio program. Suddenly, there have been a dearth of questions. So I don't have enough to really put together a segment for the program. So please go to constitutionstudy.com, click on Ask a Question, fill out that form. Just hit the little check mark that says Answer on the Radio, and I'll be more than happy to. But it's where you can find all the work that I'm doing. It's where you can support the Constitution Study, help pay for the radio program, the website, the software, all the tools that are necessary to keep this going, to keep this information coming. You can be part of that. You can support the work that I'm doing. And if you do so, I would be very grateful. Also, I'll be announcing the schedule for the Constitution Study probably in the next day or two. It's looking like it'll be Monday evenings, but that's what I'm setting up. You can find out more. Go to constitutionstudy.com/study. This is a free study of the Bill of Rights over Zoom. It'll be live. It'll be interactive. It should be a lot of fun. I've done this before. We've had a lot of fun at it. So again, check that out at constitutionstudy.com. Also, if you wouldn't mind, head over to healthycell.com. You know, we talk about what we can do about COVID, and one of the most important things we can do about COVID and about anything, any disease in our life, is to, well, live healthier. Now, whether you're looking to sleep better or boost your immune system, Healthy Cell has tools to do that. They've reinvented the vitamins. It hasn't been done since the 1930s. It is no longer a handful of pills. It is a easy-to-use, travel-ready gel pack. Now, again, they have several formulas based on what you want. One of the things I like is focus and recall. I don't know about you, but I get to the end of the day, and I have a hard time focusing on what I'm doing. My mind starts to wander, and I don't like going for the energy shots or the energy drinks. There's lots of caffeine. There's lots of sugar. They can make you jittery. They can lead to a crash. Try Healthy Cell's Focus and Recall. It boosts your short-term focus so you can get the work done and get it done quicker. It helps your long-term memory and brain power so that you can retain what you're working on. And it's not got caffeine and sugar in it. It's vitamins. So give that a try. And because you are an America Out Loud listener, because you listen to the Constitution Study here, you'll get 20% off your first order by using the code OUTLOUD at checkout. So you can try any of their products. Doesn't matter, any combination that you want, you'll get 20% off your first order. Just go to healthycell.com and use the promo code OUTLOUD at checkout for 20% off your first order.
Let's get real, let's get loud. On America Out Loud Talk Radio, this is McCullough Report. Are you tired of your tired vitamins? Consider Healthy Cell. These are pill-free vitamins that are in convenient gel packs. I like the Focus and Recall supplement. I use this a lot. You know, your brain uses a lot of energy and it depends on a variety of micronutrients and vitamins. Boost your short-term focus and long-term brain power with Healthy Cells Focus and Recall Vitamins. So go to HealthyCell.com, use the code OUTLOUD, all capital letters, OUTLOUD, for a 20% off your first order of any Healthy Cell product. Let's get real. Let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
In 2008, the amount of concentrated time people could spend on a task without becoming distracted was 12 seconds. 5 years later, it was only 8 seconds, 1 second less than a goldfish. If you find yourself always distracted or having trouble recalling information, you're likely to fall behind in the demanding, fast-paced 21st century. In other words, brain performance is more critical now than ever. Boost your brain power with Healthy Cells Focus Plus Recall. Science-backed nootropics to sharpen focus, concentrate longer, enhance recall, improve mental speed, learn rapidly, and be more alert. It's a pill-free brain supplement made with maximum absorption technology, designed to feed our brains at the cellular level. Take it for a test drive. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Focus Plus Recall. That's HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
AmericaOutLoud.com. Simply put, we're patriots who believe in Ronald Reagan's vision of a shining city on a hill. From sea to shining sea. You can listen in on iHeartRadio. Our free apps are on Apple, Android, or Alexa, or our world-class media player. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study, and today we are looking at the Trojan horse that has brought such an attack on our liberty. There are many of them, but today we're focusing on some of the new revelations that have been coming out regarding SARS-CoV-2 and COVID-19. As we see more and more, these people who have been raising the alarm, well, the facts are there and they're starting to show up. And the question is, what will we do about it? Now, since the beginning of 2021, I have been letting people know that what they refer to as a vaccine, well, two of the three of them are not actually vaccines. They're gene therapy. The Moderna and Pfizer vaccine, quote-unquote vaccines, these jabs, don't provide a vaccination. They don't provide a disabled variant of the virus. They are designed to trick your body's DNA into producing the spike proteins to fight it. In other words, they're actually teaching your body to create a portion of the vaccine, the spike protein that everybody talks about. And I've also been telling you these are experimental. All three are experimental. I know they're always saying, well, it's been fully approved. No, it is not. It's been approved by the no, it is not. All three vaccinations available in the U.S. are issued under an experimental use authorization. In fact, the PCR test is issued under an experimental use authorization. This entire thing is a giant experiment. Now, the FDA did issue a license for the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine. At least that was the news reported. What the news failed to report is they didn't actually issue the license for the full Pfizer vaccine, or what they call the Comirnaty brand. They issued it, said, okay, Comirnaty, we're okay, that particular version of the vaccine, that has been approved. Now, I still dispute whether they actually followed their own laws and rules in doing so, because if a vaccine takes, on average, especially a new technology, 12 to 15 years to authorize, how do they do it in just 8 months? But they issued the paperwork. And I've said before, Comirnaty is not available in the United States. And this has been made known. That this is not simply, you know, Paul and some sort of conspiracy theory. One of Ohio's largest hospital systems admitted that they are not distributing the Comirnaty branded vaccine, that they are distributing a Pfizer vaccine that does not have the fully approved Comirnaty label. So meaning while people are saying, hey, it's been approved by the FDA, they are, at best, they're misinforming you. At worst, they're flat out lying to you. The only one that has gone, that has been fully approved by the FDA, by the way, I believe in violation of the law, is the Comirnaty brand. And Pfizer is not making that available in the U.S. It continues to ship the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine that has not received the full authorization. It is still an emergency use authorization. That means if you go to get the jab, you are participating in a medical experiment. And last week, the National Institutes of Health declined to comment. They said, oh, you know, we're not going to say anything. Listen, you know, Pfizer's got the approval for Comirnaty. Why aren't they distributing Comirnaty? NIH just, no comment. Dr. Fauci looked at the United States and people in the eye and said, you know what? We've fully approved the Comirnaty. He did so back in August. At least that's because that's when the FDA issued this. They're still not shipping it in the U.S. Is that not a bait and switch? Where is the FDA? Where is the CDC? Where is the NIH? Hey, where's the Commerce Department? Is Pfizer committing fraud? See, every time someone points out that Pfizer, that the Pfizer quote-unquote vaccine has been fully approved, they're not told that it's the Comirnaty brand that that Pfizer is not distributing in the U.S. Now, if the only difference is a label, if it's only a brand, why is Pfizer not using it? This is a bait and switch. See, we're fully approved, but we're not actually going to give you the fully approved one. We're going to give you the one that hasn't been fully approved. Because we want guinea pigs. Imagine you're one of those people who say, you know what? I'm not going to take an experimental vaccine, but once it gets the FDA stamp of approval, then I'm happy. Then I will take the vaccine. And how many of them back in August said, oh, good, the Pfizer vaccine has been fully approved. They go take the jab and then find out, oh, yeah, but you didn't get the fully approved one. You got the experimental one. How many? How many people have done that? And in another example of the of COVID-19 being used as a Trojan horse to bring in tyranny, I found this little interesting report. Again, this one came from the Epoch Times. Apparently, the federal government under the Biden administration has cut the number of monoclonal antibody therapies sent to Florida from 30,000 to 15,000. And they say, oh, well, gee, Paul, that, you know, what, excuse me, but why is the federal government buying up these monoclonal antibodies and then sending them out as they see fit? Why is the federal government even buying these for anybody other than, well, federal employees? Why? Because the federal government is claiming an emergency as an excuse to once again destroy the Constitution, the rights of the people to consent to their government's power. The very idea that the federal government is in control of the monoclonal antibodies should disturb everyone. Well, but Paul, somebody has to do it. Do you really trust the federal government? Do you trust the bureaucrats to decide what is best for the people? Are you a slave and subject to government? Why? Why is the federal government cutting shipments to Florida? Do Do you honestly believe that Washington, D.C., somehow the political cesspool of this nation, is not using politics to help make these decisions? I'm not saying everybody in Washington is making this decision based on politics, but I would be naive to think that many of them aren't. Is the Biden administration using monoclonal antibodies that they have cornered the market on as a bludgeon for the states? By the way, how many of you have railed about monopolies? Google's a monopoly, Twitter's a monopoly, Facebook is a monopoly. We had to break up AT&T and IBM and Microsoft because they're monopolies. Why is the federal government allowed to be a monopoly on the availability of a potential treatment, one of the treatments for COVID-19? Do you believe that because they get a federal paycheck, these people are suddenly angels? That the people who work for the federal government are better than everybody else? You see, Florida has set aside $1 billion to fight COVID-19, including making monoclonal antibody treatments available to every Floridian who needs it. That's what they've done. But you see, the federal government has a contractual agreement with the makers of those treatments. They have locked out everybody else. The Biden administration went in and they cornered the market like a robber baron. No one's complaining about that. Where did the federal government get the authority to buy up and distribute as they see fit a potential treatment? Tell me, COVID-19 has not been used as a Trojan horse to bring in more and more control at the federal level. Tell me, why isn't the Biden administration being sued for antitrust violations? They bought up all the monoclonal antibodies. They are acting as a monopoly. And unlike corporate monopolies, who can compete with the federal government? They pass a law, who can compete with them? You see, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, competitors are popping up. Who is competing with the federal government? The only true monopoly is the one that comes out of government, and here we have one. Where are the antitrust lawsuits? Where is the Biden administration being sued for intentionally cornering the market on a treatment for a disease they say is so dangerous, we have to mandate you take vaccines and then decide to restrict who gets access to potential treatments? Tell me that's not the act of a tin pot dictator. That's not a despotic ruler. That's not the dystopian future we were warned about. And then the federal government, again, the Biden administration has decided, they've announced, I should say, that they're going to require insurers of private health coverage to provide 8 at-home COVID-19 tests per person per month. Tell me, where in the Constitution is the federal government authorized to do that? It's not. But it's another takeover. What happens when you put the federal government in charge of your health care? This is a direct consequence of the Affordable Care Act. The fact that the American people allowed it, they never punished their representatives for supporting it. They never punished those who opposed it for not doing anything when they had the chance. They never punished those who refused to impeach the Supreme Court justices who violated their oath, who rewrote legislation to turn a fine into a tax that was started not in the House of Representatives, but in the Senate. All of that. This is what comes from it. The federal government now is going to dictate what your insurance must provide. How can you own your body if you cannot provide for your own healthcare? What if you don't want to pay for 8 at-home COVID tests per month? I refuse to take a COVID test. Why should I pay insurance to cover a COVID test that I will never take? Because a tin pot dictator in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue wants me to. He wants control over everything. And it's not just him. It's the bureaucracy. It's so much of Congress saying, we know better. We're going to force people to do what we think is best. Destruction of liberty. Throwing the Constitution out because we know better than you do. That's why I keep saying the mess we live in today is not because of a virus. It is not because of SARS-CoV-2. It is not because of COVID-19. It is because it is a virus. It's the virus of despotism that has infected governments at all levels in this country. It is the infection of dependency. Those who have become dependent on government programs who now cannot get out from under. They see no way of living without the government telling them what to do, when to do it, how to do it. It is the virus of fear that has run rampant through the world. And it is the disease of the despotic disease that says we must silence all contrary views. Don't tell us that what we're doing is wrong. Don't look at our history and say, gee, maybe we shouldn't have given the federal government control over insurance. Maybe we shouldn't have given them control over healthcare decisions. Maybe we shouldn't give them absolute authority to determine what you can and cannot put into your body. Maybe we should have taken the risk and lived as free people. And the question is it too late? Have we gone so far that we can no longer live as free people? Now, there are a few bright lights. No, they're not the train coming to hit you on the track. There is some light. Sadly, they're few and far between. The FDA wanted 55 years to produce the safety data they used to make a decision in only a few months about the safety of these gene therapies. They made the decision to license the Pfizer-BioNTech, the Comirnaty vaccine, in months. They want 55 years to show that to the rest of the world, to let the American people, to let our experts look at that data and see if they made the right choice. Well, guess what? A federal judge on last Thursday gave the FDA 8 months to produce the Pfizer safety data. 8 months, not 55 years, 8 months. This is good news. This data should be, in fact, I contend that data should have been available at the time of the release of the license. That data should have been available publicly when they issued the license for Pfizer BioNTech to sell the Comirnaty brand vaccine. It should not have been an if. It should not have been a delay. You're putting something on the market, you better show your work. But this is one federal judge. Again, I like this answer, but it is just one federal judge. And the last story I have for today is kind of a good news, bad news. Now, you may have heard that Arizona's high court has struck down the state's mask and vaccine bans, the banning of mask mandates in schools and vaccine mandates in schools. along with several other things, including local election security issues and whatnot. And I know a lot of people were looking at that going, oh, that's terrible. That's bad news, Paul. These mask mandates, these vaccine mandates, they're cruel. They're unlawful. How can a court do that? Oh, my God. Well, again, the devil's in the details. You see, Arizona has what's referred to as a title provision in their constitution. The Constitution of the State of Arizona says that lawmakers cannot include what are referred to as extemporaneous provisions in a proposed law. In other words, you know, in the federal government, we get these omnibus bills, right, which just includes everything, including the kitchen sink. In Arizona, a bill can only have provisions related to the topic of the bill. Now, apparently, when the bill went through, this was House Bill 2898 and Senate Bill 1824, 1825, and 1819, parts of those bills violated this title provision, at least according to the justices of Arizona's High Court. See, these legislators title these bills as appropriation, budget reconciliation, budget procedures. These are budget bills. That's the title that the legislature gave them. Yet, apparently, these bills include multiple sections. In fact, was it Senate Bill 1819 had 52 different sections, many of which dealt with stuff other than the budget. Therefore, they violated the Constitution of the State of Arizona. Now, what's the good news? Well, the good news is the court apparently upheld the Constitution of the State of Arizona. You see, we can't sit here and complain about people who use the ends to justify the means. We can't go all the way back to the beginning of the program and have people justify the hyperbolic lies about the dangers of COVID-19 because, well, the ends of keeping people safe justify those lies and then turn around and use that same technique here. If the bills violated the Arizona Constitution, they are void, and the court found so. If these provisions of these bills had such support, they should have been their own bills. They should have followed the supreme law of Arizona, which is, yes, subject to the supreme law of the United States, but they're in Arizona. The Arizona Constitution created the Arizona legislature, and they set the rules. The people of Arizona set the rules for the legislature, and at least according to the High Court of Arizona, the legislature broke those rules. So now it's time for the people to go back to their employees and get them to do it right. And anyone who claims, well, it's such a big deal, the ends justify the means, makes you either a hypocrite or just as wrong as those who are promoting the unconstitutional acts in the name of COVID-19 because it's such a grave danger. See, this is why I recommend people read and study the Constitution, not just of the United States, but of their state, to understand these ideas. Somebody in the state of Arizona looked at these bills and said, oop, this violates the Constitution, and they sued. They petitioned their government for a redress of grievance. Somebody did. Now, if you live your life waiting for someone else to protect your rights for you, you're not free. You're subject to somebody else. You're waiting for someone to do your job for you. Now, most of the constitutions of the states are not nearly as easy to read as that of the United States. That's been my experience. But it doesn't mean it's not worth the time and the effort. If we want to be ignorant and free, we want what never was and never will be, according to Thomas Jefferson. If you want to be free, you cannot be ignorant. ignorant of your rights, ignorant of the law, ignorant of your constitutions, ignorant of your responsibilities as a citizen in a constitutional republic. And while the world has gone completely crazy with this psychosis over COVID-19, you don't have to. America doesn't have to join the world in its insanity. Your state doesn't need to join the world. Your county, your town doesn't need to join the world in its insanity. All you have to do is know your rights and then learn how to exercise them. Now, if you want to find out more again about the Constitution, I will be covering the Bill of Rights over the next several weeks on my Constitution study. Find out more at constitutionstudy.com/study. You'll get the invitation to the live Zoom call. You'll also get access to the recordings. So you can, if you can't make the call or if you want to review, you'll get a copy of my book, The Bill of Rights. Study the rights our founders thought were so important they needed to be protected for the United States to exist. This will take a few weeks to get through, but this will be an open discussion, and we should have, a lot of fun. Now, if you want access to the recordings, you do need to register at the Constitution Scholars. That's the site that's going to host the study once we get the initial part through. And it's where the recordings are going to be. Just go to constitutionscholars.com. You can register for free. You'll get access to the Bill of Rights study. You'll also get access to some other online books and webinars I've done. You'll get access to the different groups where you can find others and you can chat. You can find that again at constitutionscholars.com. And I would appreciate those who are able to help support the work that we're doing here. Go to constitutionstudy.com/donations and you can donate to any of the programs we're working on here. Everything you donate on the website goes to keeping the Constitution study running, paying for the website, the software, and all the work that we do. If you can't, that's not a problem. Everything on the Constitution study is free for you to use and free for you to share. But I want everyone to recognize the importance of knowing their rights so they can defend and assert them. I also want to remind you that America Out Loud Talk Radio plays on the iHeartRadio network. You can listen from our media player in any web browser around the world. We have apps for Apple, Android, and Alexa available to you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for both the live streams and the podcasts. So don't be part of the problem, be part of the solution, and help spread the blessings of liberty.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends.